Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, thank the Lord that we know he's alive and he's real and he's able. And I feel his presence, his spirit here today. There's no telling what God wants to do in our lives if we will just let him have his way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to go to the word of the Lord today. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8. We welcome everybody to Harvest. If you're visiting, thank you so much for joining us today in worship. And immediately after service, we have a special guest reception for all of our guests. It'll be back in our fellowship hall, back to my left. And my wife and I and some of our leaders would love to just get to know you a little bit better and put a face with the name and all of that. And we have a special time. They've got some treats and cookies and stuff like that. But if you could stop by. And if you brought a guest, please bring them. Just bring them by a couple of minutes, and we'll enjoy meeting them. For all of you going to NAYC, all right, North American Youth Congress, it's going to be an incredible time. They have over 34,000 that are registered at this time, and I know it's going to be just a life-changing week for our young people, and so we're excited about what God's going to do. Remember, we are leaving early Wednesday, all right? Everybody needs to be here at 5:30 a.m., okay? And we're leaving by 6, but don't be here at 6, okay? You've got to be here at 5:30. We've got to pack and make sure everybody gets their stuff in the van and all of that. So 5:30 a.m. on Wednesday. And if you have not signed your trip release form, please, today, you've got to get that taken care of. See Brother or Sister Brill and get those into them. We've got to have those before you can go. If you have not turned in all of your money, okay, can't go on the trip unless you take care of that. So if you have not turned it in, I know there's a couple of situations, but if you have not turned it in, you do need to see me today before you leave. Don't go home if you haven't turned your money in, because we got to make sure we've got the trip covered. And right now, I wonder if we could, just before I preach, I wonder if we could have prayer for all of our young people and the chaperones that are going this week. Let's pray for a hand of protection upon them as they travel. And for God's will to be done, for just the blessing of God to be poured out, and for them to receive something that they've been needing from the Lord for a long time, and for their faith to be encouraged, amen, to come together and worship with 34,000 plus. That's going to be an awesome experience. So would you just ask God to bless our whole group that's going right now? Lord, we thank you for this great trip, for this great event that, Lord, we believe is going to be life-changing for these young people. I pray that your blessing would be upon the trip. I pray that you would give us protection. Let your angels encamp round about us as we travel. I pray that you bless the chaperones, Lord. Bless the young people. I pray, God, that you would minister to each one of those services. Let this be something that we'd always look back upon and know that your power changed us and moved us and did a direct work in our lives. God, we give you all the praise for it right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Well, I want to read one verse of Scripture today, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 8. So good to be back home. We did enjoy being a part of the Missouri conference this week in St. Louis, and thankful for the spirit of unity in our district and for all the good reports of revival that we're hearing. It's amazing to be a part of the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 14 and 8, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Today I preach to you a certain sound for a world in turmoil. A certain sound for a world in turmoil. Dear Lord, we ask that your spirit would minister, that your touch would be upon us today. Anoint our ears to hear, God, anoint our hearts to receive, and I pray that you'd anoint our lives to do what you're calling us to do. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Imagine with me today a battle scene from 1,000 years ago. Envision being there among a large army of soldiers. Your glittering spears and shining swords at the ready. Each soldier carries his shield, wearing armor to protect him from the enemy. You march with purpose, in time with one another, in unity for the coming crusade. Can you see the intense concentration on the faces of those around you, focused on the impending battle, and listening for the sound of the trumpeter? In those days, the trumpet would give a certain sound to signify that the soldiers should advance, and yet another sound for the soldiers to retreat. Perhaps merely a boy, the trumpeter was vital for the army. No doubt he stayed close to the commander in order to hear his instructions, ready to relay them with the sound of his trumpet. Suppose with me today that the battle is at hand and the direction comes forth to charge. Two armies come together in an epic clash of bodies and metal. Amid the great noise of battle, above the thundering of chariots and the shouting of soldiers, and through the dust rising over the struggle, suppose you then hear a strangled trumpet. Instead of clearly ringing through the air, its blast is muffled and fades away. You stop to wonder, was that a call to charge, or was that the signal to retreat? Suddenly you notice the rest of your comrades stumbling about in confusion. Some stand still while others start to charge, and yet even others begin to retreat. And the enemy makes the most of this moment of uncertainty and quickly strikes a deadly blow. Look around today. While missing in the natural sense are the swords and spears, you can't see the armor here today, and no doubt looking around, you see average, ordinary people. But know this today, we are in the army of the Lord. And we are in an epic war, the forces of light against the forces of darkness. And the prize of victory are the souls of this city. Those men and women and children, lives lived now for a moment, but souls which will live for eternity. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." 2 Corinthians 10:3 declares, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Hey, we are in a battle today. We are in the midst of a war. Like it or not, we find ourselves in the middle of an epic struggle. We've got to stand against the wiles of the devil. But if we will follow Jesus and if we will listen to his call, then there is victory ahead. There is a celebration coming. There is rejoicing that is on the way. Hallelujah. Our world is in turmoil. We read in Isaiah 48:22, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." A world without God is a world without peace. A world in chaos, a world in turmoil, economic uncertainty, natural disasters, violence and political unrest, gross and perverse sin at every hand, We're seeing it all around us today. Why such turmoil? Why is there no peace? Why do we find our world in such a state? I believe that Romans 3 and 12 speaks clearly of our day. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, not no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher with their tongues. They have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. There's no fear of God. There's no reverence of God. There's no mind towards the things of God. I tell you today, we need to pray for our city. We need to pray for this area, that God would turn their hearts towards Him, that God would move and He would minister in this area. Lord, let there be an openness towards the things of God. Lord, let people suddenly have the thought and the desire to pray, to ask for Your help in their lives. Let there be a shift in the thinking of men and women in this area, that once again, they would have a place for God in their hearts, and that the light of truth can shine into their lives, and that a certain sound would go forth, that we'd be able to preach the gospel and point the way to freedom, to salvation, to victory in their lives. Oh, we need to pray for our city. Amen. Oh, come on. Can't we have a burden for souls? Can't we have a burden for those who are lost? Can't we have a burden for the wicked? It's not their fault. They're in the midst of sin, but somehow we've got to reach them with a certain sound amid the confusion and the turmoil of this world. They need to know the truth. We live in a world of turmoil, and as time advances, as the enemy realizes more and more that his time is short, I believe that our world is going to get even worse and worse. We read in Matthew 24:4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in divers places, iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Oh, but he that endures until the end is going to be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom of God shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. In the midst of a world in turmoil, there's going to be a certain sound. The preaching of the gospel, the message of truth, a proclamation that shows the way of salvation. In the midst of all the turmoil and chaos, in the midst of iniquity all around, we need a certain sound. Oh, we need a certain sound, a voice of hope, a declaration of victory, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, that's our calling today. That's our purpose today. Amid everything going on in this world, we've got to preach the gospel of Jesus, the good news. I've got to tell somebody there's freedom from sin. There's hope to be found in Him. There is a better way to live. A certain sound of the gospel. That's what we're called to be. Yes, this is a world of turmoil, and it's likely going to get worse and worse, but somebody take heart today. For Paul wrote to the Roman church that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Yes, sin abounds. Yes, our world is in turmoil. But in the midst of sin, grace doth much more abound. And the certain sound of the church, the apostolic church, proclaiming the apostles' doctrine, that's the direction that this world needs. That's the voice of hope that this generation longs for. They may not even realize it, but that's the answer they're seeking. Hey, we're part of a church that has the answer today. We're part of a body of believers that knows the power of God. Come on, the power that's able to deliver, that's able to heal, that's able to set free and turn lives around. Come on, we have a message of truth. We have the message of hope, the message of victory. Shatabaha. Hallelujah. We're part of a church with the answer for our world. What is this answer? It all starts with prayer. A church without prayer is a church without power. I believe that a church without prayer really doesn't even have a right to exist, because it's a church that's not connected to the power source. We've got to be a praying church if we want to be the answer for our world. We've got to have unity in prayer. We've got to have power in prayer. We've got to take dominion through prayer. Prayer is not always fun. Prayer is not always easy. It's not always convenient, but it's absolutely necessary if we want to have the answer for our world, if we want to be connected to the power of God. I tell you, people aren't looking for a church without power. Oh, there's many of those, but what people are looking for is a place where they can find the supernatural, where they know that what they feel is not of this world. They're looking for a place where miracles happen that cannot be explained, where deliverance takes place and troubled lives are truly healed, and that doesn't happen without prayer. Oh, Pastor, why are you calling us to prayer? Come on, can't you tell the services where people come early and spend time in prayer? There's a difference in the atmosphere. There's a difference in the service. There's a difference in the music. There's a difference in the preaching. It all begins with prayer. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all of men. First of all, prayer. Why do we have pre-service prayer? Why do we have church family prayer? Why do we challenge our families to have prayer in our homes every day? Because if we want to be the answer for this world, we've got to be connected to the power source, and prayer has got to come first. Prayer before worship, before music, before programs, before administration, before teaching, before preaching, before outreach, first of all, prayer. This church has got to send a certain sound so that the world will know which way to go. And prayer keeps us connected with God. Prayer keeps us in contact with our commander. It keeps us in tune with his power. If we're going to be the answer for the lost, if we're going to preach the gospel that brings salvation, if we're going to be that certain sound for a world in turmoil, we've got to be a church that knows the power of prayer. What is this answer? Well, beyond prayer, it is the preaching of the gospel. Jesus said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Many times we think of preaching only being done in a pulpit, but we're all preaching the good news.
we're sharing the gospel. Every time we tell somebody about Jesus, every time we reach for the brokenhearted, every time we help someone find deliverance through Jesus Christ, hey, it can happen on the street, it can happen at school, it may be on the job, it may be in the middle of a store, it could be with somebody you've known on your life or somebody you just met. But I want to tell you, everywhere we go, we need to be preaching the gospel. We need to be sharing the good news. We need to be a certain sound for this world that is looking for it. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. There should be some signs following our preaching. Amen. Devils, look out, because when we prayed and when we study the word and when we're going forth, putting our faith to action, in my name, he said, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. I heard this week of a Pentecostal preacher who was in an ongoing Bible study with some from a Methodist church, because they wanted to know more about the prayer language that their founder, John Wesley, used, and they wanted to understand more about this. And I want to tell you, in the last days, there's no telling how people are going to come, maybe whole congregations at a time, to experience the power of the Holy Ghost. Whether they call it the infilling of the Spirit or speaking in tongues or their prayer language, whatever, that's fine. But these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Thank God for his protection. Now, we're not going to go tempt the Lord. I'm not going to tempt the Lord and put my hand in a bunch of snakes or something like that. But he's faithful. Come on, can anybody testify that the Lord has been faithful to you? He's protected you. He's had his hand upon your life. Thank God for his protection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm thankful for the angel of the Lord that encamps round about them that fear him. I'm thankful that I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm thankful that we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We believe in that around here. That's what this world needs, a certain sound to direct us. How tragic to preach another gospel, to change this truth, to change the words of Jesus and the apostles. What a horrible thing to try to find another way to heaven, because the apostles' doctrine is too old-fashioned and because it's more convenient to do it another way. I tell you, there is no other way. And far too many in the last days will have lived their life thinking they're saved, thinking they follow the plan of salvation, but it wasn't based on what the Bible says. Galatians 1 and verse 6, Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so now say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Hey, there's too much muddying of the water today. There's too much wishy-washy Christians. Hey, too many voices crying out that this is the way and that's the way and that's the way. There's too many other doctrines, too many other gospels. This gospel is not after man. It's not man's idea of how we need to be saved, but it's got to line up with what the Word of God declares. There needs to be a certain sound proclaimed above all the noise, the true direction based specifically on what the Bible says. Hey, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old time religion. If it was good enough for the apostles, then don't try to change it today. But give me that old time religion. We're called to preach the gospel, to declare truth, to be a certain sound for our world in turmoil.